The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Doris Hyde from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you. The Sound Prints is now online for the week preceding this one. Book groups on Zoom, Worlds of Books, will be meeting November 20th. From the website, Alliance for Equality of Blind Canadians has an article on a bill called C-81, also known as the Accessible Canada Act, in Parliament. Also from the web, Braille ATMs and how they got to be that way. Very active ACB member is behind very first Braille ATM in Austin, Texas. From October 17th, Hulu is the latest streaming service to add accessibility to their devices. The ACB's Diabetics in Action group is calling for your dues. The NVDA update, there are details on a website. New shampoo bottles from Herbal Essences has blindness accessibility on them. Substantial Gainful Activity and Social Security. Tar Heel of the Week, Jennifer Talbot. Today's reading of Vision News is underwritten by an anonymous gift in loving memory of Joe and Kelly. The Sound Prints Audio Magazine for October 14th is now online. Marrakesh Treaty, signed by President Trump. Quiet Car to Make Noise. 2018 Kentucky Council of the Blind Conference and Convention Details. Supreme Court Facts. http://www.kentucky-acb.org/soundprints. Link to subscribe to the Sound Prints Audio Magazine podcast with the extension .xml. If you have any questions about the Sound Prints Audio Magazine, contact the Kentucky Council of the Blind. Phone 502-895-4598. Email kcb@kentucky-acb.org. The World's of Books Discussion Group meets the third Tuesday of each month at 9 p.m. Eastern. Join from PC, Mac, Linux, or iOS, or Android at https://zoom.us/s/28620056 or iPhone OneTap plus 164-687-699-23, 2862005556# or plus 140-863-809-86, 2862005556#, or telephone. Dial for higher quality. Dial a number based on your current location. In the U.S., 1-646-876-9923 or 1-408-638-0986. Meeting ID 28620055. International numbers available at https://zoom.us/u/CNN(U)J(Z1)OH. If you execute the above link from a computer with installed Zoom client software, the software should automatically launch and take you to the meeting. If you execute the above link from a smart device containing the Zoom Cloud Meetings app, the app should automatically launch and take you to the meeting. If you prefer to use your iPhone as a regular phone without the app to call into the meeting, you can double tap on one of the above two numbers to initiate the call. Special note, if you wish to subscribe to our one-way announce list, please write to aw-announcements+subscribe@groups.io. You will receive a confirmation letter. Just reply to it without writing anything. If you wish to subscribe to the Tech Talk discussion list, write to tech-talk-discussion+subscribe@groups.io. You will receive a confirmation and just reply to it without writing anything, and you are on the list. Worlds of Books will meet at 9 p.m. Eastern on 11/2018 to discuss Skinny Dip DB58649 by Carl Hyacin. The NLS annotation follows. Skinny Dip DB58649. Hyacin Carl. Reading time 12 hours 58 minutes. Read by Fred Major. Suspense, fiction, humor. Bestsellers. Joey's biologist husband, Chaz, throws her overboard during a cruise because he thinks that she knows he's faking Everglades water samples. Joey is rescued by former cop Mike Stranahan, who helps her in a plan to drive Chaz insane. strong language, some descriptions of sex, and some violence. Bestseller 2004. You can find it on Bookshare at the following link. https://www.bookshare.org/browse/book/1344060 query return path equals capital L 3 capital N capital I capital Y capital X capital J A capital D 9 T B number 2 capital R 1 B capital G capital V capital O capital Y capital W 1 capital I capital P capital X capital B 1 capital Y M X P capital Y little Y capital Z R capital Z capital X capital I 3 B 3 capital J K capital P capital X capital N R A capital W 5 U E capital S capital B K A capital X capital A percent 3 capital D. About 10 minutes before the meeting time above, execute the above meeting link on the device of your choice or dial in with a telephone to one of the provided numbers. All are welcome. Accessible World contacts Robert Acosta, Chair Emeritus, www.accessibleworld.org and www.radiooutofthepast.org. Phone 818-998-0044. 818-998-0044. Email boacosta@pacbell.net. Website www.helpinghandsnumber4theblind.net. Larry Gassman, Accessible World Co-Chair, accessibleworld.org. Phone 714-449-1958. Email Larry with two R's, Gassman with two S's at roadrunner.com. Alan Lemley, Co-Chair, accessibleworld.org. 601-919-6907. 601-919-6907. WALEMLY @gmail.com. The Accessible World, a division of Helping Hands for the Blind, a 501c3 not-for-profit organization, seeks to educate the general public, the disabled community, and the professionals who serve them by providing highly relevant information about new products, services, and training opportunities designed specifically to eliminate geographic and access barriers that adversely affect them. Signed, Alan Lemley. From the website blindcanadians.ca, it's as simple as ABC. Accessibility benefits Canadians, or does it? Dateline Thursday, July 19th, 2018, and Kelowna with British Columbia. Canadians with disabilities may have been offered an on-ramp to the Inclusive Society with the tabling of the Accessible Canada Act on June 20th, 2018. The Alliance for Equality of Blind Canadians, AEBC, a grassroots peer support and advocacy organization, has been active for the past 2 years in the pursuit of a piece of federal legislation which would remove existing barriers and prevent the creation of new ones for Canadians with disabilities. On June 20th, 2018, Bill C-81, the Accessible Canada Act, was tabled in Parliament by the Honorable Kirsty Duncan, Minister of Science and Minister of Sport and Persons with Disabilities. Although there have been many consultations held and many personal and organizational briefs submitted over the past 2 years leading up to the initial release of this landmark legislation, the work to ensure it is strong enough to protect our rights, remove existing barriers, and prevent the creation of new ones is just beginning, said Peter Field, National President. AEBC looks forward to participating in the important next steps, the refinement and improvement of the legislation so that when it is finally proclaimed into law, it will truly make a difference in the lives of Canadians with disabilities. AEBC's members will be demanding stronger guarantees that all necessary regulations will be created and that the bar will be set as high as possible. Time frames must be specified so that the government and all regulated entities can be held accountable, and so that Canadians with disabilities will not be forced to wait longer than absolutely necessary for true equality. It is true that near the end of its mandate, the government has finally initiated the process to live up to an election promise to Canadians with disabilities. But will Parliament get the act passed prior to the next election? For further information, contact Marcia Yale, Chair, Accessible Canada Working Group, telephone 705 705- 571-4445. I'm sure there's a country code that goes in front of that, but they didn't provide it. Email yale@blindcanadians.ca. In an email, here are a summary of the recommendations in that bill. Add a disability lens. I like that word better than filter, which is what we would use in the U.S. Require provision of information in requested alternate formats. Include accessibility in all digital infrastructure. Provide enforcement mechanism other than complaints. Consolidate enforcement in the Office of the Accessibility Commissioner. Provide funding to allow people with disabilities to participate in consultations. Launch a guaranteed basic income program. Establish a tax-free cost of disability allowance. Require foreign broadcasters to be covered by the Act. Replace the word may with stronger words such as shall or must to ensure that the Act achieves its goals. Require consultation with persons with disabilities before an exemption can be granted. Ensure that Aboriginal peoples with disabilities are included as beneficiaries of the Act. Add specific timelines in all areas of the Act. Expand the list of priority areas in the purpose of the Act. Incorporate existing accessibility standards into the Act. Recognize sign languages in Canada as official languages of the deaf community. End of brief. From statesman.com, whose big idea was it to put Braille instructions on drive-through ATMs? An Austin woman's idea spread quickly around the world and became federally required for all ATMs in a 1991 Americans with Disabilities Act rule that was updated in 2010 to also require voice control input at the machines. A couple of weeks back, in a column about the genius of adding shapes to colors on traffic lights as an assist to those of us who are color challenged, I noted that we're a society thoughtful enough to have Braille on drive-through ATMs. That, of course, is not for blind drivers. It's for blind folks who are driven through a drive-through ATM, maybe by a cabbie, maybe by a friend, maybe by a ride-hailing service. Though Braille on a drive-through ATM might seem odd to some, it's a great help to others. Good on us for doing it. And it turns out that we, right here in little old Austin, were instrumental in getting Braille on all ATMs. And by we, I mean Marjorie Beeman. I and others have told you about her in the past. If she's not the all-time greatest volunteer for a variety of causes in the history of Austin, Beeman is near the top. I've told you about her ongoing high energy, no way you can say no to her efforts in organizing and conducting role model days in local elementary schools. And that's just a fraction of what she does for us as she pursues on a daily basis her mantra, if you do nothing, nothing happens. Not long ago, I attended a well-attended milestone birthday for Beeman, who is a seasoned citizen. She was very open about her biological age at the event, but doesn't want it in the paper, so I'm going to go with her energy level age. By that measure, she's 23. Among her many other interests is helping blind people, a cause she adopted after eavesdropping on a 1979 airport conversation involving a young man telling another traveler about the challenges of blindness. Since then, she's been a nonstop advocate for blind people. So it was from Beeman that I heard about Austin's role in putting Braille on ATMs, drive-through, and otherwise. Just to let you know that the first ATM in the world with Braille instructions was at a drive-through ATM in Austin, Beeman reported, and the first non-drive-through one in a bank was at the Impact ATM at American National Bank on 6th Street. And Beeman remembers the details of how it came to be that Austin had the world's first ATM equipped with Braille instructions. She remembers because, you guessed it, she caused it. The first one was at the downtown bank, but the first that actually was tested by a blind customer was at Capitol Plaza, where there's still a drive-through ATM at what's now a Chase Bank. The machine has been swapped out ad infinitum over the years as technology marched on. I'm sure the multitude of customers who use the machine now won't realize they're passing through a historic landmark. This was the first time that the blind could bank independently, Beeman said. I later worked with the ATM industry to do the large print and finally finally use the microphone jack and voice to use the ATM. In between other volunteer commitments on a recent morning, Beeman met me at the Capitol Plaza site and amicably cooperated as I made her stand in the drive-thru lane when there were no cars for a photo or two in between cars pulling up to use the ATM. She said the idea for Braille on ATMs sprouted from her efforts to put Braille on shopping mall directories. After the Capitol Plaza machine was installed, Beeman got a friend to enlist a blind woman to get into a taxi to take her to the ATM to test it out. And it worked, she required. She was so excited. Beeman understands that Braille on a drive-thru ATM might sound odd to some. No, she acknowledged, there are not blind drivers. You sit in the back seat, and when you go through, it's probably the most secure one to go through, because you'll know the person you're riding with usually. And if you get a cab, you usually call for the same cab driver you've had before. And that's what this lady had done. She was able to get her money out. Beeman's idea spread quickly around the world and became federally required for all ATMs in 1991, America's with Disabilities Act rule that was updated in 2010 to also require voice control input at the machines. Her historic role in this effort has been documented in multiple publications. A 1986 article in American Banker by Gordon F. Light hailed Beeman as the one woman inspiration for this. It was Ms. Beeman who conceived the idea for the Braille instructions in October 1980, Light wrote. While installing a Braille shopping mall directory in Austin, she noticed a bank ATM in the mall and wondered if it could be made more easily usable by the blind. Also in 1986, Beeman's efforts were praised in a New York Times article marking the first Braille instructions on an ATM in the Big Apple. The American Statesman in 1982 noted her role in getting Braille added to on ATMs in other public places. The paper included a front page tease that remains accurate all these years later. Marjorie Beeman is a busy woman. The first paragraph in that story also remains appropriate today. Just listening to Marjorie Beeman rattle off the list of her activities can be an exhausting chore. But enough about something she did for the betterment of humankind back in the previous century. Beeman's to-do list upon leaving Capitol Plaza on this particular day included a Rotary Club meeting and some time at the Conley Guerrero Senior Activity Center, where she is advisory board president and teaches a beginner's quilting class. On the next day, it was off to Zilker Botanical Gardens, where she's a docent. Great to see you yesterday, Beeman told me in a follow-up email after our Capitol Plaza visit. Don't forget the Role Model Fair, October 11th at Overton Elementary School. From MACB.org's website, Hulu becomes latest streaming service to commit to accessibility for blind users. Dateline, October 17th, 2018. Boston, Massachusetts. Hulu and advocates from the American Council of the Blind, ACB, and Bay State Council of the Blind, BSCB, have reached a settlement agreement to increase the accessibility of Hulu's streaming service to individuals who are blind or have low vision. As a result, Hulu will undertake efforts to make its website and software applications accessible via screen readers and will provide audio description tracks for streaming content where possible. With these efforts, Hulu will join the list of online streaming providers like Netflix that are prioritizing accessibility features and making the entertainment industry more accessible to the disability community. Hulu offers online streaming services to over 20 million subscribers across the nation. However, none of Hulu's streaming content currently includes audio description. A separate audio track that narrates the key visual elements of video content between portions of dialogue to provide blind and low vision users a full media experience. For more on audio description, visit ACB's audio description project. Under the settlement agreement, Hulu will begin obtaining these tracks for as much streaming content as possible and will adapt its video players so that users can enable and disable this feature, similar to the closed caption option that currently exists on Hulu's video player. Users will also be able to filter the Hulu streaming library based on the availability of audio description. Blind community members are enthusiastic about the new opportunity to fully enjoy Hulu's extensive programming selections. According to ACB President Kim Charlson. These improvements by Hulu will provide people who are blind or have low vision with access to the same online video entertainment services currently enjoyed by millions of Americans. ACB commends Hulu for working with us to enhance access to its services for people who are blind. Our goal is to open up Hulu services to the blind community and to increase the availability of audio-described movies and television programming. Movies and television are a central pillar of American culture. As television and movie content are increasingly delivered through streaming services, this agreement ensures that the blind community will receive and be able to independently use accessible Hulu content. This access is critical to making certain that people who are blind are included as equal participants in today's society. In addition to providing audio description, Hulu will update its website and multiple software applications to ensure that screen reader users can navigate and interact with the platform. A screen reader is software that enables blind individuals to access and interact with online services by converting the text displayed visually on the screen into audible speech or by outputting that information on a digital braille display. For a screen reader to work, website and app developers must program for compatibility. A single unlabeled button, like those for entering a password or submitting payment information, can render a website wholly unusable. By January 2020, Hulu will ensure that its website and applications are compliant with standard web accessibility guidelines and the updates are tested for usability. So many times, it is that last step in an inaccessible website that keeps those who are blind or experiencing low vision from fully enjoying what others take for granted, says BSCB President Brian Charlson. And now Hulu will be working with us to make sure that their service can be accessed by everyone. Disability Rights Advocate, DRA, a nonprofit disability rights legal center, and Disability Law Center Incorporated, DLC, the Massachusetts Protection and Advocacy Agency, represented ACB, BSCB, Kim Charlson, and Brian Charlson in these negotiations with Hulu. Rebecca Williford, senior staff attorney at DRA, said this settlement will significantly improve access to movies and television for the blind community, moving people with disabilities one step closer to full inclusion in society, which was the promise of the Americans with Disabilities Act. Marlene Salo, executive director of the Disability Law Center, said online streaming of videos has become an increasingly important source of entertainment. DLC is extremely pleased that as a result of the significant agreement with Hulu, our clients and other individuals who are blind and visually impaired will now be able to enjoy the streaming of programs from Hulu. A copy of the agreement can be found at www.dralegal.org/press/hulu-becomes-latest-streaming-to-service-2-commit-to-accessibility-4-blind-users. This agreement resolved a lawsuit filed against Hulu in the U.S. District Court for the District of Massachusetts, civil number 1:17-CV-12285-PBS. Media contacts: Meredith Weaver, Disability Rights Advocate, Staff Attorney, 510-665-8644. Marlene Salo, Disability Law Center, Executive Director, 617-723-8455. About Disability Rights Advocates, DRA. Founded in 1993, DRA is a leading national nonprofit disability rights legal center. Its mission is to advance legal rights and opportunity for people with all types of disabilities nationwide. DRA represents people with disabilities in complex, system-changing, class action cases. For more information, visit www.dralegal.org. About Disability Law Center, DLC. The DLC is the protection and advocacy system for Massachusetts and is authorized under federal law to protect and advocate for the legal rights of individuals with disabilities in Massachusetts. DLC worked with Bay State Council of the Blind in a a series of negotiations with Fleet Bank, Sovereign Bank, and Citizens Bank to ensure that their ATMs, websites, and other banking services were fully accessible to individuals who are blind or visually impaired. For more information, visit www.dlc-ma.org. About American Council of the Blind, ACB. ACB works to increase the independence, security, equality of opportunity, and quality of life for all people who are blind or visually impaired. ACB advocates for policies that provide services, opportunities, infrastructure, and equipment that are necessary for an inclusive society in federal, state, and local governments, and among service providers and industry. For more information, visit www.acb.org. About Bay State Council of the Blind, BSCB. BSCB is a membership organization of blind, visually impaired, and sighted individuals committed to an enhanced quality of life for Massachusetts residents who are blind or visually impaired. BSCB convenes meetings and conferences, organizes recreation activities, provides publications, radio programs, and information, and advocates for the services and legislation that improve access for people who are blind. For more information, visit www.acbofma.org. I've got 3 minutes left, so here's the article on Tar Heel of the Week, Jennifer Talbot. When Jennifer Talbot took the reins 28 years ago at Prevent Blindness North Carolina, she was responsible for ushering in a flurry of new technology. Today, the state-funded organization screens more than 500,000 children each year in all 100 counties. Here, Talbot talks about outreach and the importance of treating vision problems early on. Question: what's the biggest misconception about blindness and vision issues? Answer: parents believe they would know if their child couldn't see. If a preschool child has amblyopia, lazy eye, it needs to be corrected very early. My stepson was diagnosed with amblyopia about a year after I started my job at Prevent Blindness. We thought it was an ear problem. He was 8 and had already lost some permanent vision. It could happen to anybody. Question: 1 in 4 school-aged children will have some eye problems. Why is it so important to diagnose and treat those problems early? Answer: there's a strong relationship between the brain and the eye, particularly for childhood vision screening problems. If that problem stays with the child through early brain development, it's very hard to correct vision later and much more expensive. Catching it early, we can get people to treatment before they lose sight they can't recover. Question: how much does it cost your organization to screen people for vision problems? Answer: it's inexpensive. Our children's programs a lot of times are $1 per child. We're able to get an awful lot of volume. We currently see over 500,000 children a year and 5,000 adults. It's an exciting time. Question: what are the main culprits of blindness and poor sight? Answer: it could be a cancer, a tumor, pretty rare, but pretty awful if it happens. As you start to go through childhood, you pick up a lot more acuity problems, being nearsighted or farsighted, and that does have an impact on a child's ability to learn if they can't see as well. For adults, you have cataracts, macular degeneration, which we used to not screen for because it was just bad news if there was nothing we could do. But a lot of progress has been made with eye diseases. We're not preventing blindness if we just find something that has no prevention piece. Question: what's new in the field in terms of technology? A. Artificial intelligence. People are going to screen using their iPhone. Our doctors take new screening equipment into their practices to compare against other equipment for accuracy. We have a lot of good partners. Before, our tools for preventing blindness and identifying things like glaucoma weren't very good. It wasn't very rewarding sometimes, and it wasn't very helpful because we were trying to find people with elevated pressure, but we'd overdiagnose and underdiagnose. Question: your organization screens 5,000 adults a year. Where does the screening take place? Answer: we have some big venues where we can screen adults for free, and the NC State Fair is one of those. We screen over 2,000 at the fair for retinal and acuity screening, and then we do bigger screenings like the Southern Women's Show. Women are actually one of our target groups. They're more apt to skip getting their eye exam. There's more on the article at nno.com. we've run out of time for today's reading of Vision News. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Doris Hyde, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This podcast, after the broadcast, at our website, TriangleReadingService.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. 919-832-5138. So long until next time.